Okay, in second chapter of Timothy, epistle of Timothy, Paul says in chapter 1, verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." And this is really something we also have to learn. To know him we have believed. And this is something which really encouraged me this time. I know if I trust in him, I will do it. We will make it if we trust in him.
Amen.
And it really strengthened my faith.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. This morning's meeting really encouraged me, especially regarding the book of Hebrews. You know, when we write a letter to people, we normally say, "It's me, how are you? How's it going? And this is what I'm going to tell you." Yeah. But if you start from chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Gah." There's not a lot of people write that way. And I think Paul, or whoever the writer is, really had a sense of urgency. He has this message that he is very burdened to share with the Hebrew believers. And, of course, it begins with God is speaking. And today, we really need to hear the Lord speaking. It's the only way that will save us. And all these warnings, we have to really take it to heart. For many years in the past, I lived by myself. And this past year, my daughter came. And this morning we were talking about getting to know the Lord through speaking. And I have like 6 years of catching up to do with her. And she has a lot to say. So I'm looking forward every day when I come home, she will have all these things to tell me. And now I'm really developing a closer relationship with her. But with us and the Lord, it should even be more. Many times we just we ignore him. We are busy doing our own things. And today is very clear. We need the speaking from the Lord. And it really helps us. And then one last thing quickly is, he is the only one qualified because he has been there, right? He is in the glory, so he's able to bring us into glory.
Amen.
So he is the captain of our salvation. So when we were playing games when we were younger, we always like to join the person who is really good. And he's, you know, if he has won the championship, then yes, I want to be on that team because he's been there, right? So praise the Lord, we have the one who is, he is in the glory.
Amen.
And today we have such a one, and he is fully capable to solve all these problems that we have today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Today, we say we need the Holy Spirit speak to us. I think that's right. Because in Watchman Nee told us that if the local church, you should, first one, you have a local ground, like one city, one church. But the second thing, crucial is that you also need to have the spirit as the authority. Right now, I think the problem is that many churches claim that they are local church. Just like I heard in Toronto, many churches heard we are the church in Toronto. But they say the other churches are not the church, only we are the local church in Toronto. I think the problem is that not only we have the local ground, we need the spirit as the authority.
Amen.
So this is why I remember in Acts 13 that the leaders like Paul and Barnabas and some leaders, they pray and they fast before the Lord. Then the spirit says, separate Paul and Barnabas to do his job, his work. So the problem is not right now. If when someone become an elder or leader, they say, "The saints should listen to me instead of listen to the spirit." So I feel this is very crucial to us.
We cannot say, if you are just one city, one church, you are the local church. No. If this church take the Christ as the law, Spirit as the authority. Also, the best way is that the serving was leading, we should pray together. Seek the Lord's leading. How the Spirit speak to us. So in our personal life, also in the church life, then I think the church will go on. Otherwise, still, you say you are local church, still, some brothers just want to take the control. They want the church follow them, not follow the Lord. Amen.
It is written, a lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? So, the Lord God has spoken, yes. And also in these days, the Lord wants to speak to us, right? The Holy Spirit in these times wants to speak to us. So I really want to be a prophet and want to be faithful to God, right? Not to man, but to listen what the Lord is speaking us today to us. Right? Also, in these times, the Lord reminded me in my daily life, hey, what are you doing? You have to pray. You have to pray for my purpose, right? And because His speaking is not, oh, just to have fellowship and, yeah, how are you doing? Can I help you in your problems? And, yeah, can I help you? So, no, it is to lead us to glory,
amen.
To lead all the churches to glory.
Amen.
So we have to pray for that and to be such a prophet who hear His voice.
Amen.
And it's not about that we speak against someone. We have to speak the truth. We have to speak what the Lord is teaching us.
Amen.
Also in Joshua, is also written Joshua 5 verse 13, where he was close to Jericho, and is written in verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or are or for our adversaries? Yeah, right. So he said, and this is interesting, no. So it's not about who is with me and who are against us. It's really we have to be on the God side, right? This is why the Lord said no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And we have to be with the Lord. And we have to carefully listen what He is talking to us, right? Amen.
Amen.
I also enjoyed two verses from Hebrews 3 this morning. Just read it again. It was in verse 6. But Christ as the Son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Amen. And then another one, and then also verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. I enjoyed this morning that what was brought out that it says here, it is to the end. Oftentimes the question is not how we began, but the question is how we end it. And I feel that in particular the book of Hebrews, it lays and puts an emphasis on our end. Later in Hebrews 12, the Lord also says He is not only the author of our faith, but He is mentioning and saying that He is the finisher of our faith. And in Hebrews, later in also in 5 and 6, there is such an emphasis on making it to the goal and reaching maturity. So in the past few
months and even few years, we may have seen a lot of people who had a very good start. But the question is, did we hold fast, or are we holding fast to the end? And that's actually something that the Lord wants to see in us. If we are faithful not only in the beginning, but in the end, or to the end. And I was reminded of a verse in Numbers 14, which we read in Feigen just last week. In Numbers 14, he talks exactly about those chapters in Hebrews also, what they mention. In Numbers 14, in verse 22, it says, "Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice." Now that is what Hebrews is also talking about. We may have seen his glory and even have seen several signs in Egypt or in the wilderness. But the question is, are we paying attention to the voice of the Lord today? And then he says, "They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it." This is a very serious warning. So it's not only the question, have we come out of Egypt? Have we gone a certain distance in the wilderness? But we want to enter into the good land. We have to reach the goal and not get stuck somewhere in between. And then he continues and says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and then, and has followed me fully." This is the qualification of those who enter into the good land. It's not only this, that we have received the Spirit once and came out of Egypt, but here it says, "He followed me fully." And that corresponds so much to what is said in Revelation 14, where the Lord says, "They followed the Lamb wherever he goes." And so that encouraged me. If we want to enter into the good land, we cannot follow man, but we have to follow him fully. And to be those who are very flexible to see where the Lord wants to go and to take his way and not man's way. So praise the Lord for his clear speaking in these days.
This morning's meeting, the word that was emphasized is this word, today. Today, if you will hear his voice, and to follow what Toby was sharing, many of us, we have a good beginning. I remember when I was young, the most common reminder my mom gave me was, "John, you always start well, but you never finish." And that was always on the back of my mind. Whenever I do things, this is why, girls, you always hear me say, "Finish the task." but it is really practical. Because if we don't learn to finish the task, if we don't learn to finish what we are instructed, then how is it then that we will hold fast to the end? Right? It's in all the little things that we do today. All the little things that the Lord is instructing us to do. It's not necessarily always the big things. But if you take care of all the little things, then you will make it to the end. And especially, you know, when you get into school, you do projects. Then you got on the job, you got bigger projects. And if you're not willing to finish it to the end, how will you reach the goal? And so along those lines, this is why the word today, if you hear his voice, becomes very important. Because God is a living God, and he is always moving. There's one of the verses, I don't think we read it yet, but regarding the matter of, you know, the living God, departing from the living God. Why would the living God depart from us? It's not necessarily that we run away from him, but it's because he's moving on. And if he's moving on and we're still standing still, then he is departing us. And so the matter of today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, then it really comes down to today. Do we hear the Lord speaking? And if we hear the Lord speaking, then do we obey it? And I appreciate this very much because every day the Lord is speaking. And if we don't heed his speaking, then he will depart because he is going on. And I feel, you know, the Lord really wants to go on. He wants to close out this age. And as later on we get into Hebrews, especially 8, 9, and 10, we see Christ as the reality of all of these offerings. And if we begin to apply this in our daily life, to finish the task, to hear his word today, then we will make it to the end. Right? So may the Lord give us ears to hear today. What we hear today, we have to say amen and do it. Don't worry about the past. That's why Paul said forgetting the things that are behind. You may have a great start, but if today we don't heed his voice, we don't listen to him, then we will be left behind. And if we learn to do this every day, then this is our way of holding fast to the end. So praise the Lord. May we hear his voice today and obey it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to have a heart to receive your living word.
Amen.
Pray again that you would give us ears to hear.
Amen.
What the Spirit is speaking today to the churches.
Amen.
Day by day, every day, help us open our ears.
Amen.
To hear the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us such a people,
yeah,
who are constantly living in the fellowship with the Father,
amen,
and with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We pray that you will continue to lead us and lead many of the faithful saints,
amen,
to go on, yeah, until we reach the goal.
Amen.
Use this book of Hebrews to encourage each one of us.
Amen.
We really need your help.
Amen.
And we put our trust in you,
yes,
the only one capable to help us.
Amen.
And to give us help to bring us into glory.
Amen.
We trust in you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, I do appreciate right in the very beginning, the writer says, God speaks to us. And he compared the previous speaking in the past ages to his speaking to us today. This is really, really wonderful. In the past, God used many ways to speak. He used angels to speak. He used prophets to speak. Even donkeys, you're right. He even used donkeys to speak to Balaam. Really wonderful. He used various ways. But I'm glad that we don't need the donkeys today. But in this last age, the wonderful thing is that he speaks to us in his Son, or through his Son. And the Son of God is the Word himself. He is the embodiment of the Word of God. That is why in John chapter 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. But it is still quite far away, not tangible. And then in verse 14 it says, one day the Word, what? Became flesh and dwelled amongst us. Wow. I really appreciate that. And John, really touched the reality of this wonderful word. He said in 1 John chapter 1, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we closely examined, and which our hands have handled of the word of life. My, in Christ Jesus, this wonderful word became so solid. It became, well, tangible. This word is now fully embodied in a living person and lived out through this wonderful person. Can you imagine that? No wonder the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is also called what? The Word of God. I don't think you ever call him, "Oh, Word of God, speak to me." Have you ever said that to him? No, right? Because we don't have the consciousness that our Lord himself is the very embodiment of the wonderful, living Word of God. Right? So, when we come to this Word of God, we have to learn to touch him, to see him, to hear him, to handle him. Right? The word of life. And this word of life manifested the glory of the Lord. You know, if you really touch the living word of God, you will have to touch and see the glory of the Lord. If you just know the doctrine, you got a big head. Yeah, you'll be puffed up. And you think, "I know this already. What do you have to say to me?" But it's not what you will say to me. It's what we will see in you. Right. So, the speaking of God in this last age. He didn't say in the age of the Old Covenant. No, because it was not just the Old Covenant. Right, from the age, from the time of Adam, all the way to Malachi, before the Lord Jesus came, God spoke, but through many ways. And, of course, he used the angels a lot, right? It was over 100 times that the angels was mentioned, right? And the singular word, maybe 100 times, plus a few times, angels in plural form. A lot of angels, right, to Isaiah, to Zechariah, to Daniel, even to Moses, and to Abraham, and to many, right, the angels was used by God. And of course, that's why they're very impressed with angels. Are you impressed with angels? It's a good thing we don't... Have you ever seen one? But do you need to see one? No. Because today, the very living word of God dwells within you. Whose speaking do you prefer to hear? Today, if you have a choice, who do you want to listen to? You have to learn to appreciate the speaking of this wonderful Son of God through the Spirit to you. Right? No prophet, whoever the prophet was, his speaking or their speaking could never be compared to the speaking of God in his Son. That's why if you read the prophets, it always say, "And the word of the Lord came to him." Right? The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, came to Isaiah, came to Jeremiah, and They had no choice. They just have to speak what they heard. But then one day, this very word became a man, became flesh. I hope you all will learn to appreciate that. You must learn to appreciate that, to be a person who hears him. Right? And in a way, who sees him in your inner eyes, with your inner eyes, and to apprehend this Christ. And this is what Paul was talking about. I want to gain him. I want to be conformed to his image. I want to know him. Paul was really hungry for this wonderful Christ. Right. Look at Philippians. I love that book because of such an example of our brother Paul here, who had such a hunger for Christ. Right. So, right in the very beginning already, the comparison between God speaking in the past and God speaking today. Which one is more glorious? Of course, no comparison. Right? No comparison. I think all of us would agree. Of course, I want to hear the speaking in the Son, because the Son is the complete Word of God Himself. And He is the fulfillment of the Word of God. Right? And He is the embodiment of the fullness of the Godhead. That is why it says here, verse 3, chapter 1, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Wow. Don't you like to see that? It's amazing how the writer knew about this. He must have seen something. Well, I'm sure he did, because you really met him on the way somewhere, and all of a sudden a bright light was shining, and wow, he really saw him. And you know, anyone who really saw and experienced such a Christ, you will fall down. Mm-hmm. If you just know the doctrine, you'll be proud. But if you see him, he meets you there. And you saw his presence, you will fall down. Right. So, what a wonderful Christ. What a wonderful Christ. There has never been anyone that has such brightness of the, what, the brightness of his glory, the effulgence, the shining out. You remember Peter, James, and John in the Mount of Transfiguration? All of a sudden, wow, the glory of the Lord, just like the sun, broke out of him. I think they were all speechless. Right, and no wonder Peter says, we are eyewitnesses of his glory. Well, I wish I could see that. And we heard the voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. And for Peter, when he said that, it was not a fable. He was not just boasting or anything like that, but he is testifying of the reality of this wonderful word. Of this wonderful word that was fully expressed there through our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, we all need to have such an appetite. When you come to the Word, what do you want to see? new things, new doctrines. You want to say some nice interpretation to prepare for your message next week or what? What do we desire to see? Right? This is what a writer and the apostles and the whole Bible there, including the prophets, they're describing to us such a wonderful Christ. And this is what we need to reach the goal. This is what we need. Right. You may be tired of doctrine. Oh, I know that already. Why are you talking about it? I already know. But will you be tired of seeing him? Right? I don't think so. Because of his unlimited glory. Such a wonderful Christ. So the speaking of the Son is really wonderful. The speaking of the Son. Today we need to know his speaking.
Amen.
And he speaks in a very different way than any of us. Very, very different. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, you want an evidence, a proof of who is speaking in me, namely Christ. What is the proof? The proof is that if Christ is speaking, it is powerful to you who heard it. If the speaking of Christ or the speaking of any man does not work in you, you can forget about it. You know, we all have a trash can anywhere, everywhere, in a meeting hall. So before you leave the hall, you can throw it there in the trash can. What do you want? Just some knowledge? Just some good interpretation of the Bible? It will not help you. No, I have seen that kind of a speaking for 40 years, okay? Really. So much speaking. But there is no power. It doesn't work. And everybody at the end remains the same and in the flesh. Nothing works. Let's read 2 Corinthians again. It's good to know that. Verse 3. Since you seek, what? A proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak towards you, but mighty in you. Yeah. Mighty in you. Right? For though he was crucified in weakness as a man, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him. In the flesh, we are weak. But we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Yeah. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves? What should you know? That Jesus Christ is in you. Unless indeed you are what? Disqualified. You fail the test. And how many people fail the test? Right. So today, if you even stand up maybe to share something, you have to have the living faith. Like Paul says, we have the spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. Now, when Paul said that we believe, it doesn't mean that, okay, I believe, you know, that it's true. No. But in Hebrews now, he substantiated. Because the spirit of faith substantiates. That means you have the confidence. Right? We believe, therefore we speak. So, praise the Lord for such a wonderful Christ. Yeah. Yeah. And then he said, concerning his son, you know, if I talk about his son, how would you start talking about his son? Oh, whom God made to be our Savior and our sin offering, and he died for you, right? Why don't you say that first? Will you say what the writer here said, whom he has appointed heir of all things? If I ask you, who is this Christ? Will you answer me, oh, the first and foremost wonderful point is that he is appointed by God to be heir of all things. Are you impressed with that point? I think many of us are not impressed. But for the writer, obviously, Christ being made heir of all things, it is with God's purpose in mind. Because he's not thinking in our level. You know, if you think in a religious level, and you will talk about Christ beginning, oh, he died for you. But he did not start with that. Because, hey, the purpose of God is to make his son, including us, as co-heirs, to inherit, to be heirs of all things. This is your destiny. And before it can happen to you, God has to accomplish that in his son, Jesus Christ. To make him the heir. I don't know what you're thinking in your Christian life. What do you want? No, you want to be a billionaire? Or you know, what do you want? Do you want to possess this and that and this and that and that and that? Do you have to? No, because when the Lord comes back, you're going to inherit with him how many things? And how big is that? It's immeasurable. It's immeasurable. And you know, there is only one apostle who really never missed the matter of the heir. Because when God appeared to him, he gave him the commission to talk about inheritance, not just salvation, but that they will inherit, to receive the inheritance. A wonderful inheritance. And Paul never missed that. That's why even in Ephesians chapter 1, or Colossians, or Galatians, and Romans, he talks about that. Because that was what God told him to tell as gospel. So when you learn to preach the gospel there at the university, you have to include the inheritance. Otherwise, people will just say, well, what do I get? I'm safe, okay. I'm safe from hell. Who knows if there's a hell? Is that all that I receive when I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? So, what are you going to get? Just eternal life? Some unbeliever even says, I don't want eternal life. I have already a problem with this life on earth. Why should I have eternal life? Yeah, some unbeliever argued. Why? You want to give me eternal life? I don't want eternal life. What am I going to do, live eternally? You know, and somewhere somebody preached about, oh, if you go to heaven, you're going to walk on a golden street. And one unbeliever really said, I don't want to walk on Golden Street. What's so special about walking on a Golden Street? I'd be more comfortable walking on carpet. Walking on Golden Street, what's that for? Now, do you have to tell people that, hey, this is God's wonderful purpose to make you a co-heir of all things? Yeah. And if you have that in view, you will not be covetous of so many things. Yeah, you will not fight for things and all this. It's going to belong to you anyway one day, right? Don't even have to pay for it. And then, how wonderful this Christ is, through whom also he made the worlds. Can you imagine? Everything was created by him. How great this Christ was. Colossians says, he's the firstborn of all the creation. Because in him, through him, and unto him, all things were made and created. Without Christ in view, this creation has no meaning. So, you need to know this wonderful Christ. And of course, he's God. If he's not God, how can everything be created by him? And remember, him here means the Word. That's why when God needs light, let there be light. God didn't even have to shout. Let there be light. No need to shout. He just says, let there be light. He didn't even need a microphone. Let there be light. And there was light. Yeah, let the earth and all kinds of green things and plants, let them grow. And it was so. And that's what Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. What? Verse 3 here. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. Who was the Word of God? Or what was the Word of God? It was Christ. It was Christ. Right? And it says, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. How wonderful is it. Can you do that? Right? Can you call something into being from nothing? Wow. How wonderful this Christ is. If it was so wonderful in the old creation, how about the new creation? You tell me. It is the same. Through this wonderful person of Christ, through whatever he had accomplished on this earth, through death and resurrection, he brought forth a new creation. So, you need to see how powerful this is. How are you going to bring forth the church life without him? You cannot even create an ant. An ant is already too big, right? What about a little flea? Can you do that? Are you sure you cannot? Try it anyway. You cannot. Just such a little creature you cannot create. How are you going to build up this wonderful new creation called the church? People think they are so capable. And this is always a trouble and a problem. With us, with Christian and believers, because God blessed and the work grew, and at the end they thought it is their work. And that was the problem with David. When David subdued all the enemies and his kingdom was established firmly, he became proud. He said, wow, look what I have accomplished. And that immediately brought judgment from God. Yeah. Don't think we are so capable. No. No, no. Just as incapable you are in helping God to create the old creation. No wonder Adam was created in, what, the first day? And the last day. And the beginning of the last day? No, the end of the last day. And you want to be last? Or you want to be the first? If you want to be the first, you will be the last. And if you are the last, you will be the first. Really true. Right. And that's why I appreciate a young generation, because you're the last. And we with gray hair and tired. So if you're very tired, what should you do? You should retire. That means you're tired all the time. Re means again and again and again and again and again you're tired. So you retire. Let the younger generation rise up to do it. And people say, oh, I'm trying to, wow, you know, stir up the young people against the older generation. I'm not doing that. Otherwise, I'll have to stir them up against me. Right? Right? Yeah, you better be against me, right? If I'm doing that. No, I'm not doing that. But I'm encouraging the young generation to pursue Christ. Because I can't run as fast as you. Right? We can try it. I can't do that anymore. I really can't. Oh, through whom also he made the worlds, the whole universe. That means our Christ is exhaustless. His power is unlimited. He is so capable. With him, the Lord says, nothing is impossible. And then in verse 3, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. Not only by the word he created, but by the same word he upholds the whole universe. Have you realized how powerful the word of God is? But if it is just doctrine for you, it's nothing. It is the same word that made the world. And it is the same word that upholds the world. And now, it is the same word that you are today reading in your hands right there. But many times you don't appreciate the word. And you're tired of the word. And you say, I don't want to know more. Oh, we don't need to know so much. Oh, we don't need to know Psalms. Even if you know that every verse is about Christ, forget about it. It's not going to help you. Well, how dare you say that the word is not going to help you? Oh, what can help you? You? You going to help yourself? we need a pure milk of the word. That's right. Is Psalm not a pure milk? Not pure word? The word of righteousness is not pure. It's just solid, but it's still pure. Don't think solid word is not pure, right? Solid word is just as pure as the milk. So, every word you really need to appreciate. And the more you grow and mature in life, the more you will appreciate the living and powerful and abiding Word of God, not just as milk, but as a two-edged sword. Do you know how to handle a sword? You want me to teach you? Nah. You have to know how to handle the sword, a two-edged sword. Because if you don't know how to handle the sword, you might cut off your own ears. Wielding the sub, wow! You lose your ears. Oh, Father God! Right, and then he just mentioned in passing, and when he by himself, praise the Lord, he didn't need any help to purge away our sins. Nobody could help him. But he, by himself, okay, can you help him? No, you cannot help him. And if you cannot help him, how are you going to help him today? When he by himself purged our sins, is that all? Praise the Lord, your sins are purged. And I really appreciate the word purge, not just forgiven. But purge is washed clean until it's so purified you don't see any stain anymore. This is how effective the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is. But then the emphasis here is not just the purging of our sin. What was the emphasis here? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Tell me, what do you appreciate more? The crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ or his sitting on the throne? What is more practical for you? How are you laughing? Because you and I, we appreciate the crucifixion more than his ascension and sitting on the throne. This is our problem today, because we appreciate what we try to understand. What we think is what I need, I appreciate. He's sitting on the throne. Okay, you know, has nothing to do with me. At least when he was on the cross, he dealt with my sin, right? Shed his precious blood, right? Isn't that good? Pretty good. And wow, and he rose from the dead. That's also good because, you know, through his resurrection, I'm born again, right? Sitting on the throne. What do you get? What do you get? You get nothing, right? I tell you, you're gravely mistaken. This is your destiny. This is your destiny. This is God's whole purpose with man. So if the Lord Jesus Christ did not ascend on high and sit today on the throne, you and I are hopeless. We don't have any hope. God's plan, and that is why you have chapter 2 here. What is man that you are mindful of him? What is man? Have you ever asked? What about your human life? What are we? What is your destiny? Where are you going to end up? What is your goal? What is the purpose of your life? Why are we today here in the church life? Is it just to have a wonderful time and fellowship? Listen to a lifeless message? Or even to listen to a message full of life? So what? Is that all? Is that, are you happy already? Yeah, are you happy? A wonderful conference, go home, you're happy, right? Oh, finally, you're fully satisfied. What can satisfy you? Your destiny, and this is not your choice, this is God's choice. He created you with that plan, with that purpose, to rule, to reign, to defeat Satan, to bring the kingdom down to this earth, that we can rule with him. We're going to co-heir here and inherit. We are co-heirs to inherit everything with him. Right. You need to see. If you don't see Christ sitting on the throne as your goal and purpose, that you'll be with him there, then you fall short. You fall short. Yep. Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. No wonder the Lord's promise to the overcomer is, you will sit with me on my Father's throne as I am sitting on my Father's throne. My Father's throne. Yeah. So we all need to touch the reality here. Not just, okay, you know, everybody understands the letter, right? The meaning of these verses, but it is not a matter whether you understand or not. It's a matter of seeing that reality. Otherwise, just knowing he sat on the right hand, so what? Right. And have become so much better than the angels. As he has, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than any one of them. Where is it written that he has an excellent name? A name above all names. Philippians chapter 2, right? So, you better know the word. Right? As the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess. And today, what is the name Jesus to you? When you think of the name Jesus, what do you think? What are you thinking? Oh, help me, Lord, I'm in trouble. Is that all? Why do you call upon the name of the Lord? It is because you're in trouble. Psalm 107. Oh, and you are desperate at the end of the rope and you don't know what to do anymore. Oh, you cry out, oh, Lord Jesus, and help me. And the Lord's mercy endures forever, and he came down and helped you. And then after he helped you, you forgot him. Until you're at the end of another problem and didn't have any more solution, then you call upon him again. And is that name like that for you? But this wonderful, excellent name is exalted by God. Highly exalted above every other name. Right. And it says, you're my son. Today I have begotten you. It is not referring to the Son of God in eternity as God. But it is referring to the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, begotten through resurrection to become the firstborn Son of God. Otherwise, there won't be any more brethren. Right? And I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Wow, what verses there. So many verses quoted. Did not the Lord, after he rose from the dead, what did he say to Mary? Go and tell my disciples.
Hmm? My brethren.
My brethren. What should he tell them? What should she tell her, tell them?
That I went to my father, who is your father.
What? My father, who is now also your father, and my God, also your God. Now, do we have the same God as the Lord Jesus? And the same Father. Do you experience him as such? If so, then is your relationship to this wonderful Father the same as the relationship of the Lord Jesus to his Father? Yeah. Not so simple, right? Because we don't appreciate it that much yet. We don't know him. But when he again, I love the word again because there are so many verses that he was quoting. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Oh, wonderful. Right. And Colossians says, he is the head of all principalities and powers. All the angels must worship him, including the fallen ones. My, do you realize how powerful your big brother is? Yeah. Even all the angels have to bow down to him. Yeah. Must listen to him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. They're just ministers, servants. But to the Son, now, again, look how the writer knows the Lord Jesus. Your throne, O God. That means even the firstborn Son of God. Remember, he has dual status as man and at the same time as God. We have a powerful, wonderful Jesus. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. It's to the Son, right? If somebody is asking you, well, how do you prove that the Son is God? Which verse are you going to use? Well, you might as well use this. Because to the Son, he says, oh God. So, who's God? A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Listen, every time we talk about the kingdom, you have to remember the word righteousness and peace. These two are a pair. If the church today is the kingdom of the heavens, how is it expressed? Through righteousness. If there is no righteousness but lawlessness, people can do whatever they like, say whatever they like, and crooked and lying and doing so many crazy things. And you cannot convince me that it's the kingdom of the heavens. Right? You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, and that's the reason why God has fully anointed Christ. And he is called the Anointed One. And here in this portion of the Bible, it tells us that the basis of this wonderful anointing is righteousness. That is why Christ is anointed above all of his companions. We are the companions. But unfortunately, not perfect and not yet perfected. But God will perfect us, because in Zion, one part of the definition is the spirits of what kind of man? Faithful man? Believing man? No. What? Huh? Just man. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Be just. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Really wonderful. And then there's an end. You, Lord, in the beginning laid a foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand. Remember, it says in verse 8, your throne, O God, is God. And it's very good for us to really experience that he is God. Powerful. We have a wonderful Savior God. Right. He laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of his hands. Wow. What a wonderful, powerful pair of hands that he has. They will perish, the old creation will perish. But you will remain. Everything will pass away. Even Peter said that. They will all grow old like a garment. I've never seen any man yet that doesn't grow old. We never ask people, how young are you, right? We always ask, how old are you? Why? Isn't it better to ask, how young are you? No. Exactly, because everything will become older. You better admit that you're old. You may feel young, but you have to admit you're old. Nothing against being old, but you have to admit that you're old. Old is old. What's so bad, right? If we will never be old, I will feel so sorry for the younger generation. They won't have any jobs left for them, no work for them, no chance for them. Right? Just like the professors in Germany. Everybody has to wait till they die, then you can, then the seat is free. You may be very, wow, intelligent. You may be 10 PhD, but you cannot be, because somebody already sat there and is still alive. Lord Jesus, like a cloak, you will fold them up. Sooner or later, right? And they will be changed. But you, Lord Jesus, you are the same. Because he doesn't need any change. He's perfect. And your years will not fail. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Now, you have to remember that there are enemies to deal with. Who is your biggest enemy? Huh? Satan. How does he operate?
Satan is my flesh as well.
Your flesh. your flesh. So subjectively, actually, our flesh is our enemy. That's why the Word of God tells us not to walk according to the flesh. If you walk according to the flesh, then you are really subject to the father of flesh. How did your body become flesh? Did God create flesh? No, God created a wonderful human body. But what happened? Because Satan put his poison into our body and turned the body into flesh. So we all became little serpents. That's why John the Baptist, as well as the Lord Jesus, called those people, "You generation of vipers." The Lord is just exposing the true nature of our flesh. He says the devil is the enemy, but he is right there, so close to you. So, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Praise the Lord. Are we conscious of that? We are just conscious of the Lord sitting on the throne. What about being conscious of making the enemy his footstool? You know, the reason why I'm just going through like this is to help you grasp the essence of the Word of God, to touch the Lord. Not just to go through as doctrines, but to really get into the Word. Right? To pass through the written letter to Christ. Right. So the angels, they are just ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation, to serve us. You may not see them, but you know, they are there to help you in secret. Really. This is really the truth. Right? Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard today. The speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the warning. So I really hope that we will all touch something, right? In chapter 2 is just the further elaboration of this wonderful purpose of God with us. That, well, Christ is that unique man. And accomplish everything for our sake. And now today, we are his brethren. Are you his brethren? What kind? Fully like him? Fleshly brethren? Or walking according to the Spirit? Or being sanctified? Are you being sanctified? Are you pursuing holiness? Oh Lord, are you entering into glory? Are you being perfected? And how? You love sufferings? Mo, do you love suffering? Oh, why not? How else are you going to be perfected? You thank the Lord for all the troubles. Well, you have to see that the troubles are necessary. Right? For both he who sanctifies And those who are being sanctified, praise the Lord, are all of one, the same source. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. My. The Lord is not ashamed to call you brethren. But are you ashamed to confess his name? I like to hear somebody ask you, who is this Christ? Oh, yeah, oh, Jesus Christ, you. Well, I know him very well. He's my big brother. They will say, what are you talking about? That's a very good way for you to preach the gospel. Opened up the book of Hebrews and says, you see? How about that? And as his brethren, the main thing is you have to be sanctified. Pursue holiness. Because you have to be like him. Which son is it or daughter is it that doesn't look like his parents? Right? You must have looked like your parents somewhere, right? Because when I see your sister, I see the similarity. Because you're all of one. One source. Same source. Right. For which reason he's not ashamed to call them brethren. And here in your church life, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the church, the assembly, the ecclesia. I will sing praise to you. Praise the Lord. So in the church life today, who is taking the lead? Who is singing? Are you singing or he is singing? Are you singing your favorite song? I will sing praises to him. And I will put my trust in him. Here am I and the children whom God has given me. You see, the Lord is so much with us together. To build us up as the heavenly family. You're right, the heavenly calling. And so the Lord, because of that, and in order to help us, he was perfected. On one hand, as a captain of our salvation to lead us, as the prince, the leading one to take the lead, and as our brother, as the main brother, the sanctifier, and then as a great high priest to help us. Everything he is, in order to lead us into glory. But then you have to have that as your goal. What is your hope? Is your hope to really fully enter into the glory or not? Or what is your hope? Right. So the writer has such a wonderful view. And I hope that we all will have the same view. Otherwise, you will just, okay, live a so-called normal Christian life. Doing your routine thing and coming to the meeting and then go home and forget about it. Wait till the next meeting. Year after year. Not much glory at it. Yeah. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. Learn to get into the speaking of the Lord and to grasp it, apprehend it, substantiate it, pray over it. Right. This is what the writer of Hebrews intend to do. He's not talking about doctrine. He's describing the reality of this wonderful Son of God. As God and as the Son of Man. And and what he has accomplished in order to bring us to the goal. Only he is capable. Nobody else. We can only talk. We can only, I don't know what. For us, the words are so cheap. But in this wonderful book of Hebrews and the scriptures, no, they're talking about the reality of Christ to help all of us to see and apprehend. Yeah. And that is why your inner man has to be strengthened, like the prayer of Paul in the book of Ephesians, so that we can be rooted and grounded. And then we can apprehend the whole dimension of Christ and to be filled to all the fullness of God. If this is just a doctrine for us, then we can forget it. Then we don't need to know. Then to have this conference in the book of Hebrews is in vain. Means nothing. Right? Praise the Lord. Learn to get into the Word.
Amen.
And pray and tell the Lord, speak to us.
Amen.
Amen.